Yes.
Right. Okay, the last time we were together, you were telling me about the fish and chicken market that you opened in New Jersey.
Oh,
and it didn't go too well. So what did you do after that?
After that, I went to Chicago.
To Chicago?
I lived there for 6 years.
Chicago for 6 years.
And then I wanted to change my job in Chicago to go to business. And I went to the Rebbe naturally.
Excuse me, what were you doing in Chicago for the 6 years?
I'm not sure. I went to the Rebbe to ask him. So he told me he couldn't let me go to business because he needs people. And he told me to go to Pittsburgh.
This is still the rabbi from Russia that you studied with.
Yeah, this rabbi is also from Russia, but this is a son-in-law. That's what my father was.
The rabbi in New York now is the son-in-law?
Yeah, son-in-law of that rabbi, yeah.
Really? And he told you to go to Pittsburgh? Can you give me some more details about the time you spent in Chicago? You know, what you did and why you did leave for Pittsburgh.
Before everything, I told you last time that I have to make a real statement. You remember?
Yes, I remember.
The statement I want to make is this.
Make it as loud as you can.
Everything that you see in me, good, for instance, and the characteristics, and the work in the year, and in my strength in some things without any compromising. So this is all because of the training in the Babich and by the Red.
The training in Russia.
In Russia, and then the conduction of the rebels. All the bad things, and this is because they didn't succeed to change altogether. See?
I'd like to know some of the bad things. I've been looking, but I'd like to know some of the bad things. What are the bad things that I haven't noticed? I'll turn it on.
No man will point you out the bad things in it.
Okay, see? Fair enough.
So, what that is, and if you look more closer in it, you'll see maybe also. But even to stay on this job, the hardships I'm going through with this job, without the strength from the Rebbe, I wouldn't stand it.
Do you mean the financial hardships of raising money?
The financial hardships is also something that is more than a man could carry out. The little help I had in it, now I have, thank God, more help. But it was many years that I had very, very little help. The whole thing was, I had to care of myself.
For many years, you were the only person that taught, weren't you? You ran it, you taught, you did everything?
Not only to teach. I was teaching also the whole time. I could teach myself. I need teachers. And I need teachers for English. Because the yeshiva is the English and the Hebrew is separated. And the boys and the girls are also separated. See? And this is something that's not agreeable with everybody. See? That's why I had to carry everything myself. Nobody should be seen with the inside of the school. the spiritual thing of this world.
Well, no one has ever tried to do that.
It was a time that some people did try, but it didn't succeed because I was stubborn.
When was this?
Then exactly like...
You mean, did people say they would give you financial help if you would change things?
We wanted to cover the whole thing from my hands. I should just be like a collector. Because they knew they couldn't get another man for bringing in as much money as I needed.
Well, do you...
And I couldn't resign either. Because this is our job, and the Rebbe put somebody in the job, we couldn't resign. Unless he could give you permission to leave the job. And you couldn't give him a resignation, you don't.
Did he know that people were trying to change the way the school was being run?
He didn't know exactly because I didn't want to give him my feelings, what I'm going through. But anyway, I went through very, very much without the strength that I got from the Rebbe. I wouldn't be able to do it.
Well, can you start from the beginning of your coming to Pittsburgh and really, you know, tell me the story in detail?
When I came to Pittsburgh.
What year was it, first of all?
1943.
1943?
In August.
In August of 1943. And it was with your wife and three children then, or two?
She was still in Chicago with the children.
How many children were there? And then?
I had already all the six children.
Oh, you had six children then?
Well, some of them were already in New York in the Yeshiva.
Oh, I see. All right, so you came before Mrs. Posner came to Pittsburgh.
I came in August. Because that was the time, at least, to go and care less children for the old day school. Before this, we had just a tumultuary after classes after school.
This is what they had in Pittsburgh when you came here.
What we had.
What you had. Was there any other religious education? There wasn't any day school then, was there?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
The Rebbe said in here, also one of his pupils, to open here a yeshiva. They succeed only to open a Talmudic after school. A Hebrew school after school time. So just like all the Talmudic.
Does Talmud Torah mean after school?
Yeah.
Does yeshiva mean day school?
Day school. So I was sent here to open a yeshiva a day school.
Does the rabbi give you any money to do this, or does he just say go?
Officially it was that Rabbi Gerari, he takes care of all the yeshivas, he's supposed to support you the yeshiva. So I don't know how it was with the other one before I came. Mm-hmm. But when I came, we depended. Not only I should collect enough money for my as much as I need here for the yeshiva, but even something to be left to send him for the central yeshiva.
In New York. Well, now wait, you said that theoretically he is supposed to help to support the yeshivas around. But in your case, he suggested that you raise money on your own and also send some back?
Officially, he made a salary for me.
Right.
And the salary he had to send from New York every week and money to my salary. And the money that I collect here is supposed to be sent to New York. No matter how much I collect, more or less. And he should send the salaries for me and for the other teachers.
Would this be enough for a building and, you know, to teach the children?
says, he didn't serve me here as much as I need, only as much as I served him that I collected.
But he sent you...
Just as much as I collected here, I sent it to him.
Yes.
I sent it back to him.
Oh, I see.
So I didn't get nothing from it, except that I have to wait, because he used to wait till the check will go through. Then he sent me my check. So I figured out what I do, I need it all together. So I opened it on account. And that's all my...
So you stopped sending money to him then? And he stopped sending money to you?
He didn't send me unless I sent it to him.
I understand that, but
so
that
after my card, I stopped to send money to him. I went on my own.
That was all right with him? He didn't
sure.
care.
Okay. Sure.
Saved him some bookkeeping. Were people receptive to you when you came here? Did they see a need for a day school?
The Canvas children for the old day school. And I was the Canvas and the other one. Was the easy job.
I wouldn't think it would be.
Because the idea of an old day school was very strange in me. Take our children from public school to give it a share. Especially when they saw me, how to take care of their English education. So I had 5 promises.
5?
One promise was for a child that was left back in the first grade. But the parents figure out what the day is.
Okay.
But even with these 5 promises, I wasn't sure. So some of the boys that was before in our town were there. They went to New York and I gave it to lawyer. So I kept one boy in here till after the holidays in case when nobody will show up, the English teacher will come. We should be more people.
Oh. Did the 5 come?
The 5 came.
Where did you hold your classes?
It was different classes. It wasn't 5 children in the same grade. 5 children in 5 different grades.
Well, I would assume that, but where did you meet? Where did they come every day?
We bought before a building on Dawson Street. The building was bought before I came.
Did the Talmud Torah use that building?
Mm-hmm. When they had the Talmud Torah, they used the shoes there. Mm-hmm. When I came, they just bought the building.
Who bought it?
The people that... Well, already made an organization, a president, a vice president.
Oh, it was a congregation.
Not a congregation. We have a charter for the school, for the chief.
You mean for these 5 children, you got a group together that bought a building?
The group was organized together and then they had the Talmud Torah.
Mm-hmm.
So Talmud Torah also needs money. Especially the look was to top and us and all this. So the organization was organized before, and they took out the charters. They should be able to open a new day school.
I see.
So it was no school. So I came, I organized together pupils.
I guess there are certain requirements that you had to fulfill in order to have a school. Did the government,
The government doesn't care. As long as the children get their education, they need, so they don't care. The only thing, the first time, if they wanted to go to high school from here, they have to give an exemption.
So you taught and you had an English teacher. And what about arithmetic? Who taught that? The English teacher?
Yeah, the English teacher.
Which taught everything but religion.
What religion?
I see.
You can think in the room.
Mm-hmm. All right. So this was your first. How many years did you have five children?
Thank God, not years. Since that year, end up, I then have 13 children.
You had 10 by the end of the year.
13.
In other words, you came in August of 1934?
43.
All right. And in September, you had five.
Then during the year, I got some more.
Your first year, you got up to 13.
So the next year, I come up to, 27.
It's amazing because you say they're taking children out of a public school. And for your second year, you had 27 students. What did you charge a student in those days?
I never said a price how much. I always said as much as you could afford.
Were you able to run the school on what these people gave to you?
The reason why I started only with five, should I had 13, then 27, a little could be because a lot of the children I got from the hills and from the projects.
Were the public schools there not adequate? I don't know anything about the schools.
You know, in the hills, you know, the projects is...
was not good. Where is Dawson Street? Is that in
Oakland?
In Oakland.
After the right after the park, after the bridge, the park.
Yeah, I've seen it, but I couldn't visualize where it was. How did the children get back and forth? They walk. Everybody walked in.
No.
They didn't walk too far.
I bought a car.
And you brought them back and forth?
Not me. I got a driver.
Well, you couldn't get 27 children in a car.
When we had 27 children, they were stationary. And not all of them at the same time. Some of them came by themselves also.
Now, when you had 27 children, what was your staff? Did you have...
We had three English teachers. Because they separate grades, see?
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted the English education to be perfect. So at least I saw it shouldn't be more than 2 grades by one teacher. Mm-hmm. 2 grades and the class was too small, so a teacher can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
So when I had 27 children, I had already 3 English teachers.
And your English teachers taught math and history, everything.
All the subjects, like in the public school. He always advanced the curriculum from the public school.
You mentioned that the only requirement the government had was at the end of the, when they were ready for high school, they took a test. How did they do on the test when they were taken?
You see, the record was that all our children are above average. So, a couple of years later, they took any test from there. And if our child in the middle of the semester, if they want the church to go back to public school, we just had a transfer and so on. It was accepted.
Did the teachers that you had at the yeshiva come from the public school system so that they knew what was being taught in the public
school? The old teachers, they practiced in public schools. But it was hard for them to hold full jobs in the schools already. So this was just for a half a day. So, with the day convenience, in the afternoon, because the principle of Hashim is that the Hebrew lesson should be in the morning. So, and we started all around from 1 to 4. So, it's a time that's very convenient for them. But all these teachers we had was not just graduates. The teachers who practiced a lot of years in the practices.
And they taught from 1 to 4?
English.
Mm-hmm. What time did school begin?
9 o'clock from 9 till 1 was Hebrew lunch, but from 1 to 4 was Jewish. Now we start a quarter to 9, a quarter to 4, the same, some places to 4:30, yeah. But that time was. So I saw from the beginning, if we want to have a school, we must have transportation and lunches. We couldn't afford at that time to have a real kitchen with a cook. But anyway, whatever we did, we make ourselves sandwiches. The children should know that they have lunch in the school. And the same thing with transportation.
Did the mothers make the food for you, or did you have one person? You and Mrs. Posner made the food.
She made it all.
When your children left the yeshiva at the end of the, was it an 8th grade school? And they went into high school, were they? Were they?
I say, this is also the Yandri.
Shake.
Oh, good. Aha. Uh-huh. Well, anyhow, where were we? All right, when they went into high school in the 9th grade, how did they rank with the other 9th grade students?
You see, our children, even they went to our school at yeshiva, they were segregated from that children. In fact, we was next to the home school of Sandasa Street.
Home?
Homeschool in Andasa Street, public school.
Yes.
And the children from there used to come to play on our playground with our children. And we even have fights. Now she always won the fight scene. See? So they never was segregated that the little come between the other children, how they behave.
But scholastically they were ahead of the of other children because of the small
classes. They told us that they are all above average. That's what the school told us. And we never complained from the parents that the children are behind something.
Mrs. Posner, you're sitting here. Can you tell me a little bit about how the children were received in the high schools, in the public high schools?
Children with child was count by us average, and some of them even below average. When they came in high school, they were ahead of the other children. Mm-hmm. Most of them went on the honor roll.
Really?
And they used to call up our principal to send us more children from Taylor Olderdijk. He used to call up and ask, please send us more children of yours.
Really? They were such good students.
That kind of report we always had from them. We never had a complaint that our children are behind in the opposite way.
That's interesting. Well, the small classrooms and the individual attention.
Individual attention, not only about the learning, but even about the behavior and other things the teacher used to take care of every child individual in every way of his life, not only that belongs to the teaching.
Well, you must have had an exceptional staff.
Yes.
Very dedicated teachers.
Very dedicated, very much. And the classes were small, and they knew everything was going on with every child. If a child had a defect, they know exactly what, why. If it comes from the home, it comes from something else. And it was tried to fix it as much as possible.
When you came to Pittsburgh, 1943, right? Were you received, was it easy for you to find a place to live?
Mm-hmm. It wasn't easy to find a place to live, because people like with my...
You mean you had a beard when no one had a beard? And when people saw a beard, they were suspicious?
They plain didn't want to rent this house.
They really would not. You mean Jewish people would not
Jewish
rent?
Jewish people would not rent us, not because like hippies, but because they are so orthodox that they could do their bits, so they didn't want us to rent us.
But you said because you were orthodox, they didn't want you?
Such a room, even that even better bed with pills, with another rent.
Well, how did you finally find a place to live in?
When it isn't how we find a place, because it just happened that our family moved out in the middle of the winter in January. Mm-hmm. And the landlady was a very stingy woman. She didn't want to lose the rent till May. That's how she rented the rent.
Well, in May, did she try to get you to move?
Then she couldn't try to get us to move because it was the wartime, so
we
couldn't raise rent and we couldn't make the move. If she was good, she would do it even in the middle of the river. She tried to do some things towards the human rights. For instance, she had two separate furnaces. She was on the first floor and we on the second floor. And what she did, she disconnected the pipes.
The heat?
The pipes from the furnace, the heat that goes. And we didn't know. And I went down and made the furnace, see? So they almost started a fire, and they called the fire department. So, and this was in the whole part of the basement, mm-hmm. that we couldn't go there, you see. So they came, they saw the pipes are disconnected, see.
Was she embarrassed?
Mm-mm. From what?
That she had done such a terrible
no,
thing? She didn't
no.
care.
The only thing, we had a sick man in our house, Rabbi Yolten. He was down single and he was in our house and he was sick, see? So if it happened to somebody else, we would report it to the Board of Health, she would have plenty for that, see? The fireman came up upstairs and he asked us, are we paying rent? We pay rent, everything. He couldn't understand. He told us he should report to the Board of Health.
Well, did they then attach the pipes?
Sure.
As soon as they came, the fire department made them do that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Well, now, you know, once you moved in and you were paying your rent, why did she still object to having you?
Because she wanted we should move out. She said, yes, somebody else. She didn't like people like us.
How long did you live in that place?
We lived till she moved out. She sold the building and she moved out.
And then the people that bought the building?
No, the people didn't. No, we moved out. Nobody makes the move out. You know, what just happened is that Mr. Donny bought a house on Victor Boulevard and had also a room to rent and he wanted to see on the first floor his daughter lived in Snedon. And he bought the house for neighbors. See, so he gave us the second floor. So that's why we moved out.
Oh, so you moved into another house. What else can you remember about your early years in Pittsburgh?
Well, you tell your story about rooms. What happened?
What about with the yeshiva? I'd like to get more about the growth of the yeshiva, if I can. I mean,
the growth of the yeshiva was just plain. The idea of how the school was more spread out between people. And they saw that the children could grow along the school without lost children. They have the right English education. That's why 4 years later, they had a meeting, Rabbi Shapiro and Rabbi Pupke, which was more Sambalabati. And they say, Rabbi Posner, a strange man, not an English-speaking man, and he could come to the city and open a school, the school exists, why could we open also to have a... And that's how they started to be like okay.
Why didn't they support you instead of opening another one?
This you have to ask them.
That's their story, not yours. So they started 4 years after you started yours. Is that when Hillel started?
Yeah, I was there.
How many students did you have then?
Oh, I had 60, 70 students.
60 or 70. And then they opened up in Squirrel Hill.
They opened just the start of the kindergarten. Mm-hmm. And every year they had a grade.
Is Hillel an 8th grade school now, or are they through high school?
Hillel High School. They have high school also. I did venture to Rabbi Shapiro and I asked him why to open another school, why not go together to strengthen our school. He told me to call in these people and let me know. I'm still waiting.
You're still waiting to hear me?
I'm not waiting.
Well, it's too bad. It would have been nice if you could have worked together.
Right, it's too bad. Maybe it's better like this. No. You know, everything is best. There's competition is better.
That's true. How many students do you have today?
Around 150.
150? Is that including the high school?
That's everything. High school, nursery, everything. Mm-hmm.
I notice you have a summer program, too. You have a day camp.
We always have a summer program. Mm-hmm.
And it's free of charge. I noticed that,
too. The summer program is not. We have charge just to learn if somebody wants, but to go to camp, they can.
I thought I saw an ad in the Chronicle last year, but there was no charge.
But learn.
Is that it?
Some children, they gave them a price for learning in camp.
Is it always terribly difficult financially to run the school?
It's always the same difficulties.
It doesn't seem to matter how many students you have, or
it doesn't matter how many students, and it doesn't matter how much the expenses. I always behind a monitor 6 weeks during the three years. See?
Yeah.
So it was the same thing when the expense was $3,000-$4,000 a month, and the same thing now when the expense is close to $25,000 a month.
A month. $25,000 a month.
Nice.
Yeah. I had no idea it cost that much to run this.
For the last 44 months from September till October, November, December, it was over $97,000.
Really? I had no idea that there was that kind of money involved in it.
So at that time I was behind a month. So now also, but I don't think that the monies are different.
What is your staff now? How many people work?
Altogether, we have about 25, 27 people on the payroll.
That's for the high school and the... Well, it's grown. Is the rabbi in New York pleased that it's here and growing?
Yes, really pleased.
It's amazing when you think about it, to start with nothing. And you have a school that's recognized as making a really fine contribution.
You see, too much, I don't blame people that they don't take a part in the issue, a smart issue. Because the nature of people is if you work in an organization. You would like to say something else? No? Mm-hmm. And the issue is not what belongs to the education, to the spiritual things. Nobody can say a word. If they're not satisfied, they could complain. So either give my complaint, they are right, I listen to them. If not, I cannot. Or they could complain to the Rebbe that I'm not doing wrong. But I do not see. But the system of learning, how to learn, this you couldn't say. I'll give an example, for instance. But you have to start a child to learn from all of this. The ABC, all of this. Then the dots after it, comments to pass a whole hour. And then I have to put together the words. And naturally, it takes time. Not too long, but it takes a couple of months. The new system of learning is to start this right away. I think in English it's also like this.
Start with sentences, words.
Yeah. But by yours is a religious principle. that have...
You start with the alphabet.
...have disability. Because Hebrew learning is not a language. It could be just a matter of a language, or the learning of Chumash and Tanakh is just a matter of learning history. Then if you think that any easier way to how to learn, by that, sure. But by your the learning of Dhamnik, the learning of Chumash, this is considered a holy learning. A child has to know that this is something not just like a subject in public school of knowledge alone. It has nothing to do with you. You have to have a holy feeling to the table, because this is something given from God. So the way how to plant in a child, you should have a holy feeling about it, is only to learn this way.
Or has to be taught in a certain way, and see, other subjects can change.
If you teach a child the alphabet, what's the start now? If you teach a child the alphabet, it's a question, but where you learn from it, but for what purposes? Yeah? So the only reason is because by us, the ABC also has a meaning. In English, there is a reason why you call this A and this B. Why A is written this way and a B the other way. Could be the other, could have something else. No reason for it. Just
I know there is.
It's made up by people, just like this. In Jewish, not so. The reason why this is called an Aleph is there a reason why. And the same thing obeys. And there's a reason why an Aleph is written this way and a B is written this way. Everything has a meaning. Not even all through people agree with it. They also, there are lots of them think that it's better to learn in this system because it's easier in the first couple of months.
Does Hillel use your system or the other?
I don't know, it's most of the time they didn't use, I don't know now if they use or not. Yeah, so, there's other things also, see, so that's why not too many people are interested to, they give money, they help out, but to do work and to that's why I have to play it myself. Because to have Balabati, they should have a day to say what they want. Not to listen to them, it'll be complex. You know?
Have you ever had this problem of people giving you money and then wanting to tell you how to run the school?
No, I didn't have this problem. Because people know that giving money is giving money, that's all. But that's why I didn't have this complex. You know? In other schools, they do have that complex. It can be Balabati and the leadership. You know? And the leadership as Orthodox people, Orthodox rabbis, naturally. You know? And all those places have more difficulties with the Balabati. You know? I don't have just for this reason, because
they know that you run
the school. Because they don't have any responsibilities. You know? Then came the end of the month, I had to make pay. There was no one, except Mr. Don, he was the only one that he carried responsibilities together with me. But beside him, no one felt a responsibility. No money is no money, so I have to drive my car to go with. So since I'm here, I always borrow more. There's never a day that you have to look for borrow money or to make good a loan.
It's been very difficult, hasn't it?
Yeah. But I was ready to have the difficulty because not to have the other difficulties. Financial difficulties is easier than